Okay, so well, last time we discussed the status of Maisa Shabbos for people on whose behalf Malacha was done. We discussed the status of Yisrael Mummer and whether Yisrael Mummer is different than a regular Yisrael in terms of the requirement of the Shiasu. And in practice, we noted that according to many contemporary poskim, whether Mikra did or whether just because of the general context, at least in the Eretz Yisrael context of Maisa Shabbos Ayidei Mummer, the tendency is to be Machmir on the Theshiyasu. For example, riding a bus right after Shabbos, where you know that the bus driver left the station before Shabbos is over, waiting until the amount of time it would have taken for the bus to arrive after a post-Shabbos departure. Ramosha has a tshuva, Chelik Beis Orachayim Simin Yud Zayin, regarding use of a sitter printed on paper produced on Shabbos. So in many svarim it says, Nitpas Al Niyar below Chashash Til Shabbos, or something of the sort. I'm sure you've seen that in svarim and sidurim over the years. I don't think it's as popular as it used to be. I'm just looking at the svarim on my table. But I've definitely seen that that lashon in svarim. So Moshe writes, Chel Bei Simon Yudzayin 1961, Pashal Niyasaiti, the Kevin Shinasim Hamavera Chamura Kazuda Chel Shabbos, the Abdin Asai Dei Poli Nachrit, Mikam Makam Ha'ika V'zat Chel Shabbos B'far Hesia, Shu Kikover V'rias Olam, the Chel Shem Shemayim. So even if there's no technical Maisa Shabbos per se, even if you'll be if without Al Yisrael, and your machmir that is asa l'mishan asa aburo, like the issue that the Magen Avraham raises. So mela, but even if it's done ayidei nachrim, the fact that it's a chil Shabbos context over here. I mean, presumably, it's a Jewish company that's producing sidurim because non-Jewish companies don't generally print sidurim. So it's a Jewish company producing a sitter. We have nachrim working on Shabbos. That's still a chil Shabbos, but for Hesia, hey, ve'usim l'dvar mitzvah l'koshe kein l'tfilah shesvichim shem yisparach yishma v'tabel l'tfilos shesvichim l'zeh sani govim u'prakli tim tovim ve'ech yispal o'idei davar shia kate gorachat v'sholom v'lo yaniach sheyizkablu ha'tfilos. And he said, maybe you're not even yosef l'tfilah b'di'evet because of in kate gor naseh sani gor. Fine. And don't say that the Ikra Tefillah is Baal Peh, so you don't really need the sitter. So Rav Moshe is very not excited about using a sitter that is Nitpas, the Chashash Chil Shabbos, even if you can avoid any technical halachic objection. But the bottom line, it smacks of Chil Shabbos, and the Bizayin HaMitzvah, Bizayin HaTefillah, to daven with the sitter shenitpas al niyar and chashash chil shabbos. Okay, Ramosha has a chiddush, which is unclear from the context how much Ramosha really is willing to rely on this chiddush on its own, especially in light of later tshuvas where he seems not to. But this is an early tshuva from Luban, chelik aleph simin kuf kaf vav, chelik aleph simin kuf kaf vav. Teves Tuf Reish Tzadi Gimels, that's the winter of 1932 into 1933, dateline Luban. We referenced part of the Shuva last year in Hilchos Nida, but the Shuva was about using a mikvah in which the water was heated up on Shabbos Al Yidei Yisrael. So the Hatama to the Shuva is on the moderate side lengthwise. But the beginning of enough Aleph, he just gives the context that we're talking about Luban under communist rule in the early 1930s, where it was very difficult, if not impossible, to have a proper halachic mikvah. And somehow they were able to be mesakeh the mikvah in a way that was usable, such that the local authorities didn't realize that it's a mikvah sheva. However, the way it operated, they were heating up the word on Shabbos, and the attendant was a Jew. So there was hot water. There's no way of avoiding this, whatever the context was. There's no way of avoiding that the water was being heated up on Shabbos. So are women allowed to use this mikvah where it's a Shas HaTzad Gadol and there's no other way of being told of? Meaning, the only day in which it was possible to use the mikvah was Friday night. However, that was worked out. And then you had this Jew that was heating up the water Friday night. So there's no possibility of using the mikvah any other night during the week. The only possibility was on Friday night, and it was heated up by Yedei Shah. I seem to remember hearing one of the Hespedim for Rav David last year. I don't remember which one, but I'm pretty sure I remember hearing Rav Reuven say that the reason that there was such an age gap between Rav David and himself, like 7 years or so, was that even though Rav Moshe was Mashu, the mitzvah in Luban, but because he relied on certain kulos, he wasn't prepared to let his rabbis and use it themselves until they got out of Russia. But that's a Luban mikvah. That's the topic of this Shuvah. So Rav Moshe writes in Anaf Gimel there, the part of the Shuvah has to do with tefillah issues and using heated water with lavan Shabbos. But as far as the Maisa Shabbos element over here, Rav Moshe writes the following. He says the fish that according to Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, the third day in Tanayim, the Isser Maisa Shabbos is fundamentally an Isser Hana. So till now we've been operating that, no, the opposite. It's an Isser Achila, not Hana, because that's beferish what the Mira custom there, Rabbi Yochanan, the way Darshan is Tzokim is Dafka, only Achila, not Hana. And let me explain that achilu is more expansive. Achilu really includes what we colloquially refer to as hana, the exclusion of benefiting from selling the object subject to ma'aseh shabbos and making money off that. That's the hana, that's mutter. And achilu really means using it in its normal use. For Moshe says the opposite, in a sense, that ma'aseh shabbos is an isser hana. Because we're learning out from Hekdesh. So it doesn't mean Isser Hana in the classic set. Well, he says there's an Isser Hana. It's not necessarily against what we explained earlier, meaning it's an expansive Isser Achila, which is an Isser Hana on some level. You have to define Hana in different ways in different contexts, right? So even if you accept the way we explained until now, that the hanah of selling something, making something off the money, making money off of it is permissible. The hanah of using it in the normal use, that's what's usher. That's what he means, that it's a, that's still in some sense hanah. So he says, this is lovely honestly. So the isser, or the way Ma'aseh Shabbos is formulated, you see from Yochanan Sandler's dichotomy that there's an expansive Isser Achila, which is really what we may use in other contexts, which we may in other contexts describe as an Isser Hana. Mechlal, Yochanan Sandler, Shamina, Rabbi Yehuda, Rameir, that that's the nature of the Isser. So even within Rabbi Yehuda, Rameir, for whom it's a Kanas, it's not based on the Pasuk, it's not in the Smata, whether it's the rights of the Rabbi Yehuda, Rameir, it's definitely, Yochanan Sandler, it's definitely a Kanas according to Rameir, Rabbi Yehuda. But it's essentially a kind of an Isser Hana. And therefore, Mrs. Ali Hanus Ninu, so the Knas of not benefiting from Ma'aseh Shabbos doesn't extend to a situation of a mitzvah. So that's a possible justification for not having to worry about the Ma'aseh Shabbos ramifications of this water that was heated up on Friday night. Again, Rav Moshe is looking for any possible straw to grasp on to be matir. Women being told us in this mikvah, that doesn't mean, and he says this is a fetish, that doesn't mean that he would necessarily rely on this in any other context on his own, this fetish of Mrs. Ali Hanus Nin in the context of Ma'aseh Shabbos. And in a much later shuva in the 70s, Chayla Dalit Simon Samotes Osei, Chayla Dalit Simon Samotes Osei, So there, Moshe, again, there's no analysis. There's a late tshuva, whoever recorded it. But the without analysis there, the assumption is that if the sukkah is built on Shabbos, the Isser, so then you're not allowed to sit in that sukkah, even if you don't have another sukkah to use, because that would be benefiting from Maisa Shabbos, and their emotion does not invoke any notion of Mitzvah Lal Lehamas. Okay.
Well, I don't understand. What was his explanation about Kiddush?
So, I think it has to be along the lines of what we explained earlier, that Achila means a normal Hishtamshus, and that's essentially a form of Hana, meaning you're benefiting from the way the Knas is formulated is that you're not allowed to benefit in a normal fashion from Maisa Shabbos. And that to that we can invoke Mrs. Aliyah. Okay.
About the Mikra case, wouldn't the concern primarily be for like Friday night Maisa Shabbos, but or should be deafening with her after?
No, but the Maisa Shabbos was that they could only arrange to use it Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Because of the communists. However, they were able to clandestinely have the mikvah opened without the government finding out about it. Could only be done Friday night. That was the context of the show. Okay. So we're generally familiar with the discussion in Eretz Yisrael as to the permissibility of using electricity on Shabbos, where maybe there's Maisa Yisrael involved in having the electricity directed to the consumers, and the position of the Chazanish and the generator culture of only using generators and not using the regular Israel Electric Authority provided electricity on Shabbos. So the Chazanish writes in Simen Lamed Ches Os Dalid, im nasa b'tachanat ha-chashmal b'shabbos ayde Yisrael she'enu m'shamer shabbasa. So if there's the electricity that is being produced through the electrical station on Shabbos by a non-shomer Shabbos, so le'adus u'menu, we're not allowed to benefit from that electricity that's flowing into your home. V'afim hu ba'ofen she'esh hetter b'shibusha min adin, even if, technically speaking, you could get out of the technical Maisa Shabbos problem. Also, l'shtamish bo, m'nei sheyesh b'shimusho iser chil Hashem. So even if you get around the technical Maisa Shabbos problem, there's still a chil Hashem problem. She'eino chas chos shemayim, kevin shehu shimush tziburi, ba'ovi b'shabbos, hu osa b'merit rachman l'san. V'nena mi maisa me'yu chas b'shalom, she'ein libo koev el chil Shabbos, yei rava she'yashuva b'tshuva shlema b'mehera. So the presentation of the Chazanish is not so much a halakhic objection, even if you can deal with the halakhic issues of Maisa Shabbos, but the fact that there is a public chil Shabbos going on in this context, and you are benefiting from the system in a way that you are somehow endorsing or accepting of that chil Shabbos that's going on, that is a chil Hashem, and that is inappropriate. That's the position of the Chazanish. So he doesn't really address or flesh out what the potential Maisa Shabbos analysis would be. Shlomo Zalman, Tinyana, in the new editions of the Minchas Shlomo, is Tinyana Simin Kaf Dalet. So Zalman has the following analysis. So he says, for starters, if you have this electric company where there are Israelim that are creating the electricity on Shabbos, then Pasha, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And even if you put a pot on a hot plate, let's say, before Shabbos, and then the electricity is flowing on Shabbos, that's also a problem. However, maybe you can say that as far as an object that was cooked or that was affected by electricity that goes out on Shabbos, maybe Maisa Shabbos doesn't extend to that. That relates to the question of Maisa Shabbos is something which is not good for Shal Isser and the Magen Avraham of the Lefasos that we discussed last time. But then he says, Shamati Mishmei de Gavar Rabba, that as long as you have another light on in the room, you have a candle, so then you can benefit from the electricity on Shabbos. Just like the din of Simon Reish Ayin Vav, that if a Nachri lights a candle for you, but there's another candle in the room that you're using anyway, and you could see with your first candle, there's no problem using the second candle lit by the Nachri, even if it's done on your behalf. The Shlomo Zalman doesn't like that. He says, not necessarily the same thing. He says, number one, we saw Magen Avraham, Simon Reish Nun Gimel, Sivkatan Yud Gimel, that if you have an Nachri returning to the Blech on Shabbos, or to the flame on Shabbos, a top shell, which is Mistamik V'yafala, which is going to be improved with more heat, that's mutter. That's because it was technically edible before anyway. That's only by Nachri. If Yisrael does it, it's going to be us regardless. This is Malachas Yisrael. And he says, even by the Nachri, we're only matter in that case, where the Nachri lights the candle, we didn't tell him to do it. But here, if you're acquiescing to the electricity flowing, and you're using the system, so it's like you want them to do it for you. So that doesn't sound so promising. Then Rishon Zalman says, and this is what Shmir Shabbos quotes in Perek Lamed Beis, Funo Kuf Pei Beis. The electricity has to flow anyway. And there are hospitals, there are cholish yeshua sakanas that medically need electricity. So for those people, the malacha is permissible. For those people, you're allowed to get the electricity from cholish yeshua sakana. So once electricity is already flowing, maybe you can use it too. And even though for the cholim themselves, the amount of electricity necessary is more minimal, So isn't there a Yarba Bishvilo that there's more malacha going on behalf of the non-Kolim? He says that's not the Metzius. That you can't just have the electricity run to the hospitals or to the Kolim. It has to run to everyone. So that's like the din and sit phase of Shkita. That if all you need is a kazayis for the chola, you can still shaft the whole animal because the yesh of the kazayis basar below Shkita. But it's the same malacha, whether you need a kazayis or whether you need a whole cow. So here too, it's the same malacha, whether you need electricity just for the chola, or whether you need electricity for the whole town. And similarly, if there's a power failure and you need to fix it, so you're allowed to fix it for a pikuach nefesh situation for the hospitals. And even if when you're fixing the electricity, the light's going to go on in many more houses than the hospital, there's no iser there. That's the same ka'ula. Because there's no way of distinguishing between who's a cholish yesh basakana and who's not. He says he wasn't sure about this because we're talking about a chashash iser d'oraisa. Then he found the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim, Arachayim Siman Kaf Aleph, who says, Im hakedero medes malaya kama chasichos. The hutzrach lahavir eish seviva b'shvel achola. So you have a pot that's full of a lot of meat, and you have to light a flame under the pot for chol sheish b'sakar. The Enos Arba Harbas Lahagila Medura Bishvil Mibaya Chasichos, but you're not creating any, you're not doing any more malacha just because there are more pieces. You have a pot full of pieces of meat. You don't need all the pieces of meat for the bowl, but they're all there anyway. And it's the same malacha whether you're going to light the flame with that 5 pieces of meat in the pot or 20 pieces of meat in the pot. So, Piagavna Lo Nikri Mibi Bishi Urim, Klau. He says over there, so what, now you have a pot of 20 pieces of meat. The chola needs 5 of them. So do we tell you, you have to remove the 15 pieces of meat the chola doesn't need before you light the flame? So even though in general, with the bishur, with the usher, you couldn't l'chachila put extra pieces of meat in the pot, but you don't have to remove the pieces of meat when you're going to light the flame, even though the other pieces of meat are not necessary for the chola. So Beis Ephraim says that B'shem V'Altas is not considered to be Riboy B'Shiurim. So here too, you don't have to worry that when they put the electricity back, your lights are going to go on as well.
Be allowed to put more meat before you put it on the fire, or that's
no. So the basic price is always over because it's ready there. To put more meat on, so that's doing something but come that say. So Shabbos Alman allows using electricity based on the hospital svara that they have to have the zera going even for the hospital. Then he writes in the end that it's definitely better to try to encourage the electric companies to have Nachrim on call and not Yisraelim. And that, if you create that reality, and the default is that you have Nachrim working on Shabbos, then even if it turns out at one point there's a Yisrael Avaria who on his own decides to get a job there, but Lav Kol Kvinei to ask the electricity bana and everyone else in the country, just because this Avarian decides he wants to do the Lacha, if there are other Nachrim that are available to do the work instead. He writes, in conclusion, that Kevin de Litzarenu Agadol, it's already been the norm that there are Yisraelim working on Shabbos at the electric company. So until we hear from the administration of the electric company that they're willing to follow the instructions of the Rabbanim, you have to assume that they're Israeli doing the work. The Maker did, you don't have to ask her using electricity on Shabbos, even if it was done, Ayyadei Israel. But he says, by using electricity, we're in essence encouraging fellow Shabbos. So, in theory, is based on the fact that you need the electricity running for Pituach Nefesh situations. But Rishon Zalman is far from excited about relying on that and thinks that every effort should be made to reform the electric companies in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Halpern, who wrote extensively over the years of any medical halachic and technological halachic issues. Chuvas Maisa Koshei Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed Aleph Chelik Aleph Simon Lamed Aleph. Rabbi Jaffer has a nice article on this topic in Gray Matter Volume 2, so I saw he quotes this Maisa Koshei and a couple other contemporary works that discuss the topic. So the way he presents the question, Maisa Koshei, Chelik Aleph, Simen, Lamed Aleph. Actually, before we get to him, I was trying to figure out that presumably the Metzius has changed between the 1950s and now, and that things are a lot more automated than they used to be. So what actually is going on in a power plant on Shabbos, and what malach has actually been done before in order to facilitate the flow of electricity? So I'm talking to Rabbi Josh Flug about this earlier this week. He told me that he once asked an engineer that works in the local electric company there, who said that everything's automated to the point that unless there's some major outage that lasts for more than 15 minutes, there's no human intervention that's necessary to augment or facilitate the electric flow. And presumably that is, you find this surprising? Presumably that's the norm in technologically developed countries. Yeah.
There's no one pressing any buttons.
There's no one pressing any buttons. So there may be people monitoring things.
Ever?
I'm sorry?
Ever. After the week I also,
Well, the electricity flows the same way in Boca on Shabbos as during the rest of the week.
I'm surprised that no one needs to edit a computer system or something.
So there may be people monitoring, but And that's what Rabbi Jachter quotes. I looked this up, Rabbi Ezra Basi, one of the prominent Bayan emeritus, author of Pidei Pamidus, four volumes, back there somewhere. So in his Chubas, Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Aleph, he writes that he felt a lot better about the situation when he got a tour of the electric plant in Ashdod. And he noticed that everything is automatic. And unless there is some outage, in which case there's intervention needed, there's no actual malacha taking place in the course of regular normal day. And then if there is an outage, so if you need to restore the electricity for the hospitals, so then you have some zalman to rely on there where there's an outage and that's going to be necessary. And there Echa and near Lemea, that's not Rebuy Bishurim. Ramosha.
It wouldn't really help you saying he just pointed out.
No, I'm going to come back to Rabbi Hoppe in a minute. Sorry, I realized that made more sense to come back to him after pointing out two more things. Ramosha, in another later Jew of the 70s, Chela Dal and Simon Kuf Kav Zayin. So it says there that the same ideas of Shlomo Zalman on the point that if you need to run the electricity for the hospitals, so then there's no Chil Shabbos for that. But Moshe says, why is that the case? If all you need is the hospitals, so you need a lot less voltage. So I think Rosh Hashanah's point on that is that may be true that if you're only running to a hospital, say you could just run something direct to the hospital. But there are also Cholish Yesh B'Sakanis in different people's homes and we don't know where they are. So you have to provide electricity to the whole city because you don't know where there's a Cholish Yesh B'Sakanis. So it's not just the hospitals per se. Then it says in Yirgis Moshe that you should have Nachum do the work. Right, it's not a case of Bikuach Nefesh where Hazar is Meshubach, where any Israel from the Kal Shabbos would be Bikuach Nefesh. If you're having an institution and you have to have people fix prior outages, so the institution should create a system where they're not going to do that. So there, Moshe wasn't excited about the hospital spark. Chela Dalit Simon Samach Dalit Oz Dalit. Chela Dalit Simon Samach Dalit Oz Dalit Nigus Moshe. It says there, again, later, two of the 70s, that the reality is in Eretz Yisrael, the majority of the population, even Tamid HaFamim, Yerei Shemayim, Yeshivas, they use electricity. It's only a mir of Yidoli Torah of Yira that are mocked around themselves. Why should that be? Why is everyone knowing Lugula? I heard that electricity flows without any intervention. And you only need people there if there's a takala. Some people rely on the assumption that there's no takala and there's a chazaka. And there are nafri workers. But you have a sex makeup. Maybe there's no outage. I mean, the way he presents it, it sounds like there could be outages you don't know about. So I don't know if you see if that's true. I think if there are outages, you know about them. And even if there is an outage, maybe there's a nafri fixing it. He says, especially if your wife doesn't go along with the Machmir have a generator, you don't have to fight with your wife. Given that, most Tamid HaFam and Eretz Yisrael are Mekel. Rabbi Halperin has the following couple points. Again, Maisa Poshe Pelag Aleph Simon Lamed Aleph. So he says, even if the flow of electricity is automatic, but there are times based on usage where there needs to be some intervention if there's higher demand. And there's a certain baseline flow. And if there's higher demand at some point, then you have to have some kind of intervention and someone at the plant doing malach. So he says the majority of increased demand on Shabbos is due to the demand of Mechale Shabbos, not to the demand of non-Jewish customers because there aren't as many, and not because of the frum customers that have a Shabbos box going on in the middle of the day to turn the lights on. So it's really the action of other Jews that is causing increased demand on the system, and then causing the Israelim to be engaged in the Chil Shabbos at the power plant. And he says, what's worse? Is it worse that the people in the power plant are doing malacha, or worse that the consumers, the non-Shomer Shabbos consumers in Eretz Yisrael, are using their appliances and creating the increased demand? So maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it's worse that the consumers are using more electricity, because as far as the workers, so they have a heter pikuach nefesh for the hospitals if there is increased demand, and they have to up the flow. So that's necessary for the hospitals. They says, well, maybe the action of the non-Shomer Shabbos consumers are really a grumma, because that's somewhat removed from what they're doing in the plant, because the fact that any individual is not going to, on his own, increase the demand in a way that you have to intervene at the power plant, right? It's only in the big picture of so many consumers. So as far as any individual is concerned, that's how they grumble. Is maybe you should be worried that if you're going to put your Shabbos clocks on and your lights are going to go on Shabbos, so that's creating increased demand, and that's going to cause Chil Shabbos at the power plant. So he thinks that's unlikely, because the increased demand is due to the larger kinds of appliances and electric demand that isn't usually regulated by Shabbos box. Not so concerned about what they eat there per se. I guess that would be an interesting topic to research. How often how does this increased demand work? And this is still, this is in the 80s, so things might have changed since then also. If that's still the case, that that kind of 10% increase in demand could lead to the necessity for more intervention to open up the flow. In the Sefer Kedusha Shabbos, written by Rabbi Moshe Harari from Merkaz Harav, on Chashmal Balacha, two volumes. So he has, he summarizes conversations he had with Rabbi Yashiv on the topic. I sent a PDF of this. So Rabbi Yashiv said to him, yes, Rabbi Yashiv is not using electricity on Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. A chumra, or is it an isser gamer medina? So Yosha said it's yoser me chumra. It's more than a regular chumra, but less than medina. So he asked Rabbi Yosha, let's say you have to use a generator plus money. So you have a young kolel family that's struggling to make ends meet, so they have to pay for a generator. Or maybe that's included in Hatzal Shabbos that our comes and also Mitzavim Rosh Hashanah for Hatzal Shabbos. You don't have to worry. So Yashu said to him that you'll get repaid for whatever you spend on the generator. That's the plow Hatzal Shabbos. Now, she said that Chazanish was really concerned about Maisa Shabbos. It's not just a matter of Chil Hashem. You know, the Chil Hashem factor is present as well. Okay. This is Shuva in Chuvas and Haggis, Rosh Sherbach, Chel Gimel, Simon Cook, he writes that if there is a power outage and then the power goes back, then since it's a hatred to restore the power because of the Duot Nefesh, then he thinks, as we saw in Shlomo Zalman, that everybody's allowed to use the electricity that's restored. Since you can't just calibrate the flow just to the hospitals and not to everyone else. So in practice, either because the Metzias has changed or because of Shlomo Zalman's Svaras Lahakel, in practice, outside of Bnei Brak, I believe the majority in Eretz Yisrael does not use generators. And it sounds like that's a more reasonable position now than decades ago, because it sounds like it seems as such that the amount of Chil Shabbos on a regular basis that goes on is minimal, if not existent. Now, the Chil Hashem element may still be there. If the people who are working on the plant are Shomer Shabbos and they're the ones that are minding the store, if the automation exists, so maybe the Fasanish Chil Hashem objection still exists.
They wreck people
with now generators. Yeah. People are shy too. That's the norm in the dark. Okay. One more point before we move on, going back to the Chuvas HaRashba about completion of fashion with Isser. Right, we quoted a couple of times ago the Magen Avraham understood in Chuvas HaRashba that if you have a kli that is used to cook on Shabbos B'Isser, so Maisa Shabbos renders the kli itself machal asiros, and you can't use the kli either the mevashel himself or mishin esvashel aviro if we're makir on mishin esvashel aviro. Rav Schechter quotes, and this is printed in Nefesh HaRav, that the Agudas HaRabbanim, it must have been in the 1930s because Rav Moshe Soloveitchik passed away in 41, that the Agudas HaRabbanim wanted to asser patronizing bakeries on Sunday. Jewish-owned bakeries are open on Shabbos because of the blios in the kelim from Bishul B'Shabbos. So they wanted the Aser buying bread on Sunday when it was Kelch Meis La'Eis. Not yet knows in Tom Lufgam from Jewish home bakeries where they baked it on Shabbos because of the blister. Moshe Soloveitchik told them that that was extreme and unnecessary because he felt that the nature of the Israelites of Shabbos is that you can't be nana directly from the Maisa Shabbos. But after they got to say that you're going to aser something baked the next day because of Blios, so there, if there's no direct Tana from Maisa Shabbos, he didn't think you should extend the Isser to Blios.
Did you say no, except your Rashba?
Except the Rashba as far as asering the Kli, but not as far as except the Rashba. But we'll get to that in a second. There are two elements here. That's the second one, but the first one is even for him. I'm not sure. Then Rishon because of Moshe Soloveitchik also didn't think that the Yisr should extend L'Acher. We would only ask it for the Mevashel himself and not for Mishan Asad the row. But he presented it as 2 points. So was Moshe Soloveitchik saying that we're not foolish for the Rashba at all, for the Bhagavad Gita interpretation of the Rashba, or that would you distinguish between Asr and the Kli and the closures for Blias? Does that make any sense to say you can't? It doesn't make any sense, right? We say you can't use a cleat, but we're not closures for Blias. That's what it means.
Maybe that's it for Achirin.
Right.
Should we go in and use the cleat? So according to the first part, that's not mentioned by Achirin, then maybe that would be answer. But when you're buying your pastries, you're not actually using the cleat, you're just benefiting from the Blias and the cleat.
And even if you would say that the Isser extends the Mishan Asa of the row, but that's only on that which is baked on Shabbos itself. It doesn't extend to the Blios, which is secondary. Maybe that's what I'm saying. So 2 points. Number one, you didn't think that Yatmi Toshesh, that Maisa Shabbos extends and the Knas extends to Mishan Asa of the row. But even with that, even if it did, the Knas only extends to the what would that mean? The mission asa bero that you can use the pot, meaning that the mission asa bero couldn't go into the bakery and use that pot for himself, but if the bakery made bake something in that pot, then when asked then he doesn't have to be touching the place, right?
There's that definition of kli sort of sounds like a kli shembo, mindfulness, open up the
right.
But if it's yeshba, then you would assume that prepared food in it would be the usage of the kli. So food that's prepared in it would be the usage of the kli.
Right, not sure. Okay, with that, let us move on to Bishul. And Sif Gimel. They didn't, Bishul Bechama, Bishul, they told us about. So, Bishul Deraisa, as we referenced in our Gav a few shiurim ago, Bishul Deraisa requires Bishul through a medium of heat, of fire, Bishul Ayde Esh. And told us, or else we'll see, is Bishul through something that was heated. By Ish. So that's secondary. Bishul itself, the Av, is using fire, and Tolda Sa'or is heating with something that was heated by fire. But the Mishnah on the Lamed Tes on the Beis tells us as follows: Einos Nibesa Bitsad Hamefam Bishvil Shetis Galgal. They're not allowed to put an egg on the side of a kettle in order to roast the egg. Lo yafki enavis sudrin, and you can surround it with cloths. Or you can't break it, crack it on a cloth. Rabbi Yossi Matir. So what's that machlokas about? Yafki ena b'sudrin. Says the Gemara on the Pesach of an Aleph. The Chama, Amar Nachman, the Chama, the Kliyama, lo pligi, the Shari. So Eben agrees that it's mutter, not even in the rice. So it's hatter gamar l'chafila to cook something in the sun. That's the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Vavam Beis. Nos Nintamshul Zofabur Vishvoshi Eshamor. Yesamayim Yafim Beram Vishvoshi Yitzanenu. Yafathodim Bechamu Vishvoshi Yifamu. So you are lithathil allowed to put cold water in the sun in order to heat it up. Vishal Bechamu, that is Lukuli Alma Hatter Gamu. So Bechamu Kuli Alma Lukuli Yidishar. They told us that or kuliyamalo kligi the aser. Rashi told us that or kigon imhucha masudur hazeh or mitchila. So if the sudur is heated up by fire, so then the aser david bishul, that's bishul deraisa. Kligi betold us achama. This machlokes chacham Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. That's talking about Tolda Sachama. That's talking about a sudda that was heated up in the sun. Rashi on the Mishnah. Below Yachiyan Besudrin, Lo Yishabrena Al Sudr Shahucha Mechama, Kidesha Tisla Michomo Shal Sudr. So there you're cooking it with the heat that is absorbed by this sudr that was in the sun. But that's my focus in Mishnah. Maris over Gazvina told us a Kama to told us or Maris over Logazvina. So that's my focus. Tanakama and Rav Yossi. Arvi goes there, told us a Kama, Atu told us or. Told us or is an Issa Deraisa. Bishop of Kama is Hadra Gomer. What about told us a Kama? So Arvi goes there, told us a Kama to told us or. Rashi. The Mandachazi sovereign that told us or Nin. If we're going to say, Gazrina told us Akama to told us or that's because we're concerned that if you see the sudur, you don't know whether the sudur was heated up by Aish or by Kama. So you'll think that it was heated up by Aish, and that you're allowed to be told something in the sudur should become either Aish. So because you can't readily tell just by looking at it whether this is told us a tam or told us or. That's where it goes here, told us a tam atu, told us a or. That's what we paskin, that we are goes here, told us a tam atu, told us a or. Told us a or is an iser de araisa. Told us a tam is an iser de rabbanan. So Rambam writes in Perikah Beis, in his section on the rabbanan, Perikah Beis lachates, mutu a hafim a tam a. So there's no gzeira that you can't cook bechama because there's no source of confusion. If you're putting something in the sun, it's clear that you're not putting it in a fire. So there's no way to get confused between bechama and or. The thing I'm going to lead things that my son and Hashem should in Shikama. The thing knows in my yachim was of my rhyme, the shvil she eats on you. The nose in Tashi was of a boar. So there's no gzeira of chama atu or, but there is a gzeira of told us a chama atu told us a or. Okay, and that's what we have here in Sif Gimel. Kishem sha'asu levasha v'or kachasu levasha v'told us a or. You go and lead ten days of inside Kedera, Ola Shavra, Al Sudar, Shahuk on the Or, Kadesh Tisla. The Filu, they told us Kama, you go and visit the Shahuk on the Kama, us in Zera, Adu told us the Or. Then us will have Mina, Bechol, of Abed, Rakim, Shahuk, and Bechol, Kama. That's the next thing in the Mishnah. Ala Bechama Asma, you go and lead ten days of Bechama, lead ten Mayim Bechama, Kadesh Yakamu, but there. Why is it mutter to be mevashel b'chama mamish? Says Rashi, Lamentesim and Aleph, Dimer Masu b'shari, De'ein derech b'shul v'kach. B'chama b'or lo michlefa d'elixar ha'atuha. So 2 points. Number one, fundamentally, b'shul b'chama is mutter because ein derech b'shul v'kach. And even if you wanted to create a zera, so there's no rationale for being bozer, to or okay, what does Rashi mean? Ein derech bishul v'kach, that bishul v'chama is heter gamur because ein derech bishul v'kach. Kovis shiurim subis osu beis. Rav Chanan writes that the Petur of Kol Achar Yad in Shabbos, so we've encountered already in a few different contexts, is not a din unique to Shabbos, but that's a Kol Torah Kul Halacha. I mean, as opposed to Mekalkel, Melachah Shenesuit Gufa, other Chesronos and Melachas Machsheves that are unique to Shabbos, Rav Chanan says Kol Achar Yad, there's no unique Petur of Kol Achar Yad is a lack of Melechus Machshavas in Shabbos. Kol Achar Yad, doing something in a abnormal fashion, is a Kol Torah Kula Halacha. And what's one of the rayas that he brings? If you are Mevashel Korban Pesach B'chamei Tveria, you're a Pater. That's not a violation of sleep. Just like the Shabbos, if you're Mevashel, the Chamei Tveria, that is not a Malacha Deraisa, that's told us a Chama, as we see here in the Hamshach HaGemara. So just like if you're Mevashel, the Chama itself, that's had the Gemara. Mevashel, but told us a Chama, it's only us to meet your body, Mishim Zera, Atu, told us or, but fundamentally, definitely on a derisa level, that is mutter. Because that is not, that is Galakriyat. That's not the normal fashion of Bishul. That's not a function of Shabbos per se, because the same din applies in Hilchos Korban Pesach. But that's not called Bishul. If you're Mevashel, the Chama, that's not Bishul. And therefore, that's not a Torah violation of not being sleep. And he quotes our Rashi that on Shabbos ain't there official lekach. He says who adin says Rabbi Chanan. Let's say you're mevashel baser b'chalav b'chama. So then you're also pater because ain't there official lekach. So Rabbi Chanan says that this ain't there official lekach is two things. Number one, he understands that as a kol achar yad exclusion, and we've encountered kol achar yad in other Shabbos contexts, we understand that even kol achar yad and Shabbos, the kolias, isn't a local Shabbos exemption of lechus mach Shabbos. That's a kol achar kul issue. So as opposed to other exemptions of lechus mach Shabbos, kol achar yad is kol achar kul alacha, and this is the example that Rabbi Chanan goes. So you understand that ein derech mishul mekach is that in kol achar kula, this is not considered bishul. This is not the way of doing bishul. It's kol achar yad, and it's not bishul in kol achar kula. It's not bishul in hilchos korban pesach. It's not bishul in hilchos basar b'chalav. It's not bishul in hilchos Shabbos. It's not bishul at all.
Does anyone have any other examples aside from bishul? I thought all those gemaras just meant that the Torah only forbade bishul in a specific way. They're official.
Right. He says that the general exclusion of Shalok Kederech Achila is part of this also. And if you eat machal sasuas shalok derech achila, he groups that in the same category as kol achar yad, meaning not in the normal fashion. Those are his two examples. Number one, isue achila shalok derech achila, or isue hana shalok derech hana, and bishul b'cha. But Hanogel and Yanenu is that he assumes that even if we'll accept what you're saying, but as far as we're concerned, that you end up in the same place. As far as Bishul is concerned, he's saying, and this is not called Bishul. And you could say that even without the Kolotar Kula perspective on Kol Achriyad, that this is not, because this is not the normal way of Bishul, it doesn't have the halachic status of Bishul. Right? That's what we'll find. So he doesn't raise it here, but based on his analysis, he'd say the same thing by Bishul Akram. That's not Bishul. We're Machmir because of the other approaches that we'll see. I shouldn't say that across the board. There are. I think there are kosher agencies that are make on microwaves for Bishul Akram. The OU, I believe, is not. I think there are those. I don't know. There are kosher agencies that are make on Bishul Akram microwaves. Check. That Rabbi Chanan is against Rabbi Moshe's famous tshuva about microwaves. Orachayim chelak gimel simen nun beis chelak gimel simen nun beis. There, it's a little hard to understand in the tshuva exactly how Rabbi Moshe sees the derech bishul lekach. In Rabbi Moshe's conclusion, the ein derech bishul lekach is kind of literal. That this is not the normal way of bishul, and that's why it's not a blacha d'oraisa. And their motion's conclusion that, well, writing in 1971, if microwaves become more popular and people start cooking in microwaves as the default, then maybe that will become their bishul, and then maybe that could be a blacha d'oraisa. If that's the only analysis, you still have to clarify why shouldn't it at least be a blacha d'rabanan. But going backwards, so Ramosha says, it's not pshat And Rashi says, "Ein derech bishul lekach." It's not pshat that it's a generic kalacher yad, like the regular kalacher yad of Malacha Shabbos. He doesn't say this, but they're also right. If it's a regular, it's not called bishul. It's not called bishul, and there's no reason to be gozer atu. And there's no reason to be gozer atu or. So then it'll be hetar gamar l'chachila. If it's a more generic kalachriyad, so then you have to figure out why does that create a hetar l'chachila unless it's an extreme kalachriyad. That's what we discussed in different contexts in the past. That if you have a shini gamar. Usually, kalachriyah knocks down the rights of the rabbanon. The rabbanon to heter, right? If you have a shinui gadol, then sometimes that'll knock down the rights to a to heter. So, if this would be a more generic kalachriyah, then you have to figure out is this a, so maybe it is a shinui gadol that this is so different than the normal way of cooking. That's a shinui gadol that would knock it down from the block of the rights to the heter gadol. Moshe says a snapshot. It's not that it's a regular Shabbos kalachriyad. Ela kavanasam the after a lahachshiv the lav derech mulachahu levashel bechama dim ein lo etzim who davar hamispashel bechama yivashlu bechama aval kevin shall kol panim ein levashel bechama ela kish ein lo etzim. So even though it's true, doesn't mean that under no circumstances would anyone ever do bishul b'chama. But since bishul b'chama is not the norm, and the only time you'd ever be mevashel b'chama is if you're stuck without any other option. So since it's so far removed from the ofen of bishul in the Mishkan, then that's not even considered to be a talada of bishul. It's not a talada of bishul b'or, and therefore mutter. That's the ein derech bishul lekach because it's not the normal way of doing it. It's so far removed from the model of bishul that existed in the Mishkan, and there's no reason to make it zera. So that becomes Hatter Gomer, there Moshe says, well, with the microwave, maybe if microwaves become more mikubal and people cook in microwaves, maybe that could become a malacha d'oraisa. But according to Moshe is not saying that it's not bishul at all. Right? Rukhana says bishul is not bishul at all, in essence. It's not halakhically defined as bishul. Bechala Torah Kula, not for Karm Pesach, not for Bas Bechala. Not for Shabbos. Moshe's not saying it's not bishul at all. He's saying it's a not the normal fashion of bishul. It's far removed from bishul of Mishkan, and therefore it's not included even as a talada of a malacha d'oraisa. Then there's another analysis of the Igle Tal. Os or Sifkat and Mandali. So Igle Tal writes that there are two types of Shalom Kedarka. Two types of Shinuyim of Kalachriya. There's a kalachar yad in the way you do the malacha in the oseh. So most of the context in which we encounter kalachar yad in malacha Shabbos is that kind of kalachar yad. You perform the malacha in a abnormal fashion, or you do the maisa lisha in an abnormal fashion. You do the maisa token in an abnormal fashion. But you could also have a shinoi or a kalachriyad in the product of the malacha, in the nasa. And he said that's what the reference is over here, that ein derech bishul lekach, that the quality of Bishul Lechama is inferior to Bishul Lor. That the effect of the Bishul on the product is a different effect. So something that's cooked Lor is affected differently than something that's cooked Lechama is affected differently than something that's cooked Lor. That's a Shinoi in the Nifal, the Shinoi in the Nasa. And that is a qualitatively inferior kind of Bishul. And therefore, not a malacha deraisa, not even a malacha derabba. So that's not, it may be in the ballpark of a machanan, but it's a different formulation. It's not bishul at all. And it may not be a kolotara kula matter, but simply a Shabbos matter, but a hilfa Shabbos, because it's an inferior quality bishul. Is not included in the melacha. But these analyses of in the official Bishul may be relevant to following the Sefer Mora Shabbos points out, chapter Yud Zayin. His chapters are out of order. So in the first volume, it goes through Simin Vav, and then he skips to Simin Yud Zayin. Then the second volume, they go back for whatever editorial reason. So it's Simon Yuzayim, but it's in the first volume. So he points out this presumably is relevant to the suffix of the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav, Sukkot and Vav, the last line, right, Nistapati, Bisha Lechami Tveria, the Toldos Chama, in the Vashal Akakach Lechami or Imchai. So let's say, your mevashel b'chamei tveria. Chamei tveria is toldos lechama. And then your mevashel afterwards b'chamei haor. But is that bishul or bishul? Right, you're not going to be chayav for bishul or bishul. So the first bishul is done b'chama or toldos lechama, which on the derisa level is not bishul. Or it's not the malacha. And then you do bishul b'chamei ha'or. It says be begadim the yirah the patrhu the farnis pa'el b'vishula. That there was already bishul done, even if it's not a bishul that would have been b'chayiv. In practice, there's already bishul done to this food that you cook the chamei tveria. So the efshar. Maybe that's even Hetter Gomer. So the Mora Shabbos points out that's relevant to our analysis over here. According to Rabbanan, that Bishul Lechama isn't Bishul at all. Kol HaTorah Kula is not defined as cooking at all. If it's not defined as cooking at all, so then it's hard to say that you would be putter on the subsequent bishul. Because even if something was done to actually, is that necessarily the case? Right, that could maybe go either way. But Ramosha's contention or suggestion that cooking in a microwave, if it becomes the norm, could end up being bishul deraisa. The other poskim end up saying the same thing potentially for for different reasons. So Rav Avner assumes, bottom line, that you have to be choshesh, that cooking in a microwave is toldos ha'or, shevet levi chelo yud, simen, sam of beis. He assumes with the Iglitalis analysis that bottom line, you do, if you are using a microwave, you do affect he is concerned that it could be maybe it is for Moshe in the end. That does become dark of a cock, and maybe that could be a official device. So Rabbi Karb quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, a different Tashbin, that using a microwave would be told to say Aish for the following reason. He quotes in the Eri. Here on Lama Tessa and Aleph, it says the facts. Hasid, we'll conclude with this. Hasid, Afal P. Shehudavar Hamosif Hapel, Lonesser Lahatman Bo Sone. So, generally speaking, as we'll see on Shabbos, you can do it with Madan Dabar Mosif Hapel, but Sid, the plaster, even if it's Mosif Hapel, you're allowed to be matnin something cold in the sim. But if the sid is hot, Harbeyu told us a or. That's considered told us a or. And if you have sid that was heated up and now you want to be matnin something in the sid, that's told us a or. The asu legal will go beit with Shabbos. And you can crack an egg on it on Shabbos. Aval. Galgun oso al gag roseach. But you could crack an egg on a hot roof that was heated by the sun. So if you have sid that was heated by Aish, that's told us a or, and you can't crack an egg in it. If you have a roof that was heated by the sun, that's told us a chama, and you can crack an egg in it. The sid that Yesh the farsha, but Ochehu Roseach Mikawa Ka'or. So the plaster that we're talking about is plaster that's still hot because of the fire that heated up. I will end this dining because of Rinirsaf, the Mayim Shekabu. But if it cooled off and then you poured hot water on it that heated up again, Yesh Makila. So those that are makel to crack an egg on this plaster. In a book, Shere Afdish and Istanein Marsiach es Mekoma. Even after it cooled off, there's still an effect of the original heat. The Lozaz of Imenu Risicha with the Mapik egg, Shemikoacha or Ela Shehi Mitosefes Vishas Hakil. So there's still some residual effect of the original heat on this plaster. And that's why it's considered to be told us or. The question of Yashiv, that this is a general rule, that any time you have something where initially the act of bishul is performed through told us a ish, so then that preserves the status and retains the status of told us ish. So if you have a microwave, because there's the microwave is electric, then the electricity is itself we told us a ish that defines any action done by the microwave is called a ish, even if the cooking itself is being done through microwaves and not through ish match. So take a look at this Meiri inside and see what you think of it and whether that fits with.
Well, what's the case? It was heated up with the oil and cooled down. And
right. And now it cooled off and then heated up again. So even if even if this second heating was not done either or, but because the first heating was, that still has the status as told us or. And Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Karkos, Rabbi Yashiv is saying that's relevant to microwaves as well.
The electricity
is like the told us H. So even if the actual heating now is being done because of the microwaves, but the foil that started with the electricity, so that defines it as told us or. That's an interesting extension of the view.
What's the initial heating by a microwave? That's not microwave.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the when you turn it on, so there's electricity there that starts things moving. So you're saying it's not the same. There, the ore heated up the cement. That heated up here, the electricity isn't heating it up, it's just causing it to operate. But the only thing that's heating up are the microwaves.
Yeah, right? I don't know if I was getting to that, but eventually that's definitely probably why. Yeah,
right. So Rabbi Karp kind of acknowledges that, and then he says, you could say that, but since we're talking about a fashash, the rice, they have to be bashman. I think Rabbi Karp says you can take a look. Okay, yeah, sorry if you're going a little over, we'll stop here. Next time, just have one more hour that I didn't get to today about Chama, and then we'll go on to Siftalit and start talking about Bishal HaVishal and Machal B'Bisai. Okay, so we'll meet Ritz Hashem on Sunday. Yeah. Great. Okay, feel good, Jeremy.